great having you today. And let's get ready for our topic matter of new things. India was a new thing that we've done. It was an entrepreneurial, spiritually intensive entrepreneurial endeavor we've been doing. And we're going to do others, including those that God wants you to do in your own personal life. Let's take a look at this video.
I serve as the director for the entrepreneurship program at Miami University. I grew up in an entrepreneurial family. My father was an entrepreneur. And for me, it was always trying to really connect two thoughts. One, how do you make a business? And two, how do you make a difference? At a narrow definition, it's around starting a business. That's pretty narrow. The way we think of entrepreneurship, it's more around entrepreneurship as a way of thinking and a way of acting. A way of thinking, we talk about the entrepreneurial mindset. This would include things like being creative, being innovative. It would include things like being opportunity obsessed. That is, everywhere you look, you see a need, and you begin to figure out, how can I help solve that need? But there's also a big piece around entrepreneurship as a way of doing it. If we just think about it and nothing happens, well, it's not entrepreneurship. Nothing happens. And so entrepreneurship is doing, or is acting, is really about how do I identify, evaluate, and then develop opportunities. And then at the end of the day, we need to create value. And the value creation process is often for the entrepreneur themselves, but it's also for society at large. And so we think of entrepreneurship really as a way of thinking and a way of acting. Is it a problem or is it an opportunity? That's very entrepreneurial in terms of looking at every problem as an opportunity, because when you look at a problem, you look at something like poverty, the immediate reaction often by an entrepreneur is, well, how do I solve this? That's quite different than the way that some people will look at it is, oh, that's a problem, that's a shame, I hope it can fix itself. The entrepreneur tends to take a bit more personal accountability. They see a problem and they're trying to solve it. They're trying to find a way to make things better, to make things different, to improve upon the status quo. You have almost a trailblazing path set out there that there is the great Wild West. There is an untapped field. So even if you think back to a Steve Jobs, the traditional way of thinking about marketing was you ask people what they want. Well, Steve Jobs said, no, they're just going to tell you they want what they have and they want it cheaper and faster. He said, I really needed to trailblaze. I needed to think two steps ahead to help them understand things that they don't even know that they want. In Cincinnati, there are a number of really exciting things going on. So if you look at Cincy Tech, you look at the Brandery, a top 10 high-tech accelerator right here in Cincinnati. You have many universities right here in this space that have highly ranked entrepreneurship programs. And so if you look at the ecosystem for entrepreneurship, it's very fertile right now. You look at Centrifuge, which is trying to pull many of these pieces together under one roof, not unlike what CityLink is trying to do for a holistic poverty solution. The work there is taking and leveraging a model of a holistic solution to effectively go from poverty to self-sustainability. And that's a very entrepreneurial way to tackle what has been a persistent problem for us. So I think there's really exciting things going on both the profit side and the social side here in Cincinnati, and I think we're just getting started. I think that's the exciting part. We are just at the beginning of what the city can be in terms of entrepreneurship.
Very exciting. Very, very exciting. You know, you can applaud if you want. Entrepreneurship is, it's not a passing fad. It's something that's here to stay, and as we're going to see today, it's something that God is passionate about. Entrepreneurial activity is very popular right now. I mean, there's television shows about it, the Shark Tank, people are talking about it. Ted Turner a while ago had a quote about it. He said this. He said, my son is an entrepreneur. That's what you're called when you don't have a job. Last series, we looked at how God is blank. God is a street fighter. God is self-absorbed, these such things. If we had another week, we could do this, and actually we're going to do a whole series on it, which basically is God is an entrepreneur. And if that sounds odd to you, let's pray that God helps us understand this today. God, I pray that our time today would not be wasted because you don't waste it. You would give us something that we need when we come in here that we might not even know that we need. I pray that you would help me to be clear, and I'm thankful that I get to talk about things like this. Thank you that you include me and the new things you're doing, including giving insights that I think a lot of us in here have not wrestled with before. So use our time however you see fit. And I pray these things according to your name, your son's name, Jesus. Amen. Dictionary.com defines entrepreneur this way. Entrepreneur, a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. Some of us might go, oh, I'm not an entrepreneur. This isn't going to be relevant for me. It is. Look here. Any enterprise. If you're part of a civic association, that is an enterprise. If you're part of a group of people that comes together and tries to do hobbies together, that is an enterprise. Your body is an enterprise. It consists of intellectual, emotional, spiritual, physical. It is an enterprise that needs to go forward and do new things. If you are dating somebody, that is an enterprise that has a potential future. Your marriage, your family is an enterprise that God wants us to grow. And I want to make sure today that we realize character. Gosh, character. Your character is an enterprise where there are new character qualities that we can take on in our life to develop. We have to have the attitude of an entrepreneur when we do this. Now, I want to make sure that we're seeing that this is not some way to be sort of trendy culturally because people are talking about entrepreneur stuff, but this is something that is core to the identity of God. I want to take a good bit of time here right now just showing you that God himself is an entrepreneur. And if you struggle with the new, you're going to struggle with God. If you struggle with doing new things, with trying new disciplines, with wrestling with new thoughts, you are going to wrestle very hard with actually growing spiritually, at least with the being who is recorded pretty intricately in the midst of the Bible. God starts new things all the time. And when he starts stuff, when he does new things, there's things that you and I receive, and there's things that we achieve. There are things that are new that you will receive from God, and there are things that are new that God will ask you to achieve, and you will be with him in achieving, receiving and achieving. Let's take a look at some of these in the Bible. I want to do a 30,000-foot view of some of these sectors. First off, the Bible starts off where God creates a new earth. It starts off God creating, it's an entrepreneurial endeavor. God creates a new planet. He doesn't just create a new planet. He creates a new solar system. He creates a new galaxy. And many people are surprised when I tell them, I've never found anything in science to contradict my understanding of the God I see in the Bible. Never. There's never been anything that science has put out there that's bothered me at all. Right now, there's theoretical physicists who are saying, according to math and other things I can't understand, that there are infinite universes. I always thought there was one universe, but infinite ones, apparently. I always thought the universe was all that was, but nonetheless, I can't follow all their reasoning, but very smart people are smarter than me say there are infinite universes, and there are new universes being created right now as we speak. That doesn't bother me at all. I mean, the God that I know is about creating new things. You mean God only created our earth and solar system? He's so big and vast, it would have been boring. No, man, he's constantly creating new things. It would take multiple new universes to itch his creativity even in the slightest. One of the early figures in the Bible is a man by the name of Abram. God creates through him a new nation that's called the nation of Israel. In Genesis chapter 12, he comes to Abram and says this, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Abram is a wandering nomad in the desert. He has no vision for nation building. He has no vision for starting something new. But God comes to him and says, you're going to do a new nation. We receive the world. Abraham receives his calling, but he also is to set out and achieve it. And he actually gets a new name. His name becomes Abraham, father of nations, father of many. There's also all kinds of new journeys we see in the Bible. They used to have these things. They used to have these kind of Bibles. You might have heard about them. They used to be made of paper. I mean, some of us haven't held a book with paper for a long, long time. I'm one of those people. If you go to one of those Bibles that have paper, go in the back. Not the cheap ones we give away for free at the information center, but one of the like expensive ones that are hardbound. You buy them at a store. They cost like $30. If you go to the back of them, you'll see all these maps. And you'll see a bunch of maps that have arrows on them. These are some of the new journeys that God calls his people to. New journeys out of slavery. New journeys to go set up new promised lands. New journeys where Jesus' followers are going to cities that they've never been to, and in many cases never even heard of, because Jesus said, go take these new journeys. There's in the Bible new names. I mentioned one. Abram gets a new name, Abraham, means father of nation. So he gets a new identity. To know someone's name in ancient times is to know their identity. So this is a newness that we receive. There's others in the Bible. Simon, one of Jesus' friends, answers a question correctly when Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Simon says, I say you're the Son of God. I say you're the Messiah. Jesus says, ding, 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 woo, 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 yes, you are. Yes, you are correct. In fact, this foundation is going to be a foundational statement upon which I am going to build my church. I'm going to call you Peter, because that means rock. You are going to have foundational elements coming out of this testimony. It's a new name. God gives new names throughout the entire scripture. These are new identities, if you will, that people are receiving. He gives new songs. Psalm 144 says this, I will sing a new song to you, O God, upon a 10-string harp, I will play to you. 9 times in the Bible, it says that God wants a new song. You know what God doesn't want?
Amazing grace, ringing in the sheaves, here we are.
No, he doesn't like that at all. God is bored with the old songs. Some people go, I come across those. I don't know any songs. That's exactly the way God wants it. If you get tired of top 40, the same song after 3 months, how do you think he feels after 100 years? I'm not making this up. He says over and over again, sing to me a new song. Now, if we do an old song here, we like to make it fresh, because God likes the newness. He likes the freshness of it. One of the songs we did earlier today, there's normally a really hard driving guitar riff on it. And you notice they had a little banjo today. I wasn't necessarily digging the banjo versus the driving guitar, but I love that our musicians are trying new things. And God probably liked that better than the guitar because it was new. He says over and over, new songs, new creativity. God gives new communication all throughout the entire Bible. He gives new ideas about who he is. He calls people to be prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, it goes on and on and on, who give new communication, new words of admonition, new words of encouragement, new words of rebuke that people have to hear. He gives what's called a new birth. How many of us ever had on our to-do list to get born physically? Anybody ever decide that? No. No, none of us ever have. And God says it's very similar spiritually. When you get born spiritually, when you have the propensity to seek, it's because God bears something in you that you didn't initially plan to do. It's a really wild thing out there. It's hard to wrap our minds around that. But nonetheless, this is one of the new things that we receive. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So something gets born in us that helps us seek God and come into being one of his children. In fact, it gives us a living hope. You might have heard the idea, new hope. I have new hope. New hope is a redundant phrase. Hope is all about the expectation of the new that's coming. It's all about the expectation that something is going to happen that's going to redeem and restore the current state that is not good. It's something new that's coming around. It's a biblical concept. There's ideas of new disciples. Jesus says, go and make disciples. Bring new people in. We at Crossroads, we love that new people are coming here. We want to constantly make space for new people to come here. God likes that. Well, that's why we've sent out a mailer, or about to send out a mailer in the next few weeks, to homes around Oakley and Florence, letting people know, you're invited, you're welcome. A lot of people don't know that churches welcome new people. A lot of churches actually don't. people outside churches don't even know if they're welcome. I mean, is it like a Masonic lodge where there's no windows, I can't go in unless someone invites me and I learn secret hands? I don't know what happens there. But there's certain organizations we all know, they're not really into new people. We have to say every once in a while, no, we like new people. Come and see if it works for you. So if you have a friend of yours that gets one of these in the next few weeks, say, oh, yeah, that's my church. We do that stuff. If you have a friend in Mason, they won't get one because we have no new seats for them because we're full in our rented facilities. So no invitations to Mason except we get a new building that we're building right now. But new disciples are important. New wineskin. I went out to eat the other night, and we had a bottle of wine. They brought this bottle, and they're like, first time I saw them, like, twist a cap, I'm going, wait a minute, I'm coming out to eat and you're giving me a twist off bottle. That was like for high school reunited red during prom time. You don't have a twist top bottle. Oh no, it's good bottle. Oh, yeah. No, actually I guess it is. We're trying to be nicer to the cork trees and all that stuff, which is good. But when I see twist top bottles in those containers, I'm often reminded that in Jesus' day, what held wine was a wineskin. They would take a hide off of an animal, stitch it up, put the wine in there, and Jesus says, there's new things that I'm doing, and the reason why a lot of people don't understand me is they're old wineskin people. They're into the old ways that I've always done. He says, I've come to do a new thing, and my work is being put into a new wineskin. It's a new structure that is more pliable and flexible than the old wineskin. It's able to deal with the uncertainty of the fermentation process. Here's what he says. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst and the wine is spilled and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved. So we see Jesus appreciates the old. He wants to appreciate the old. In fact, wine in old wineskins probably tastes better. It's more refined. It doesn't mean that the new is better initially. It just means the new is the future, and Jesus says, I've come to put things into new containers because I'm doing a new thing. There's this new infilling of the Spirit that's prophesied in the book of Ezekiel. It says this, and I will give them one heart and a new spirit I will put within them. About 7,400 times the word new shows up in the Bible one way, shape, or form. A new spirit. After Jesus left, he said to his disciples, it's to your benefit I leave, because when I leave, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will come and dwell within you. If you happen to possess the Holy Spirit, this is a new initiative that God's only been doing for about 2,000 years. Of all of time, the fact that God will actually dwell inside of people who've received Jesus is a new initiative. Abraham didn't have the Holy Spirit. Moses, nada. Adam, uh-uh. Noah, no. Moses, no. None of them. It was a new initiative to put the Spirit of God inside of people who were willing vessels. I'll give you one more. The new self. There's actually a new identity that we receive from God. It's not that we have to work our way to being good enough. He actually gives us a new identity. The book of Colossians talks about this. Colossians 1, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So God gives us a new identity. He gives us a new name. This is what we receive. But we also have a level of achieving in that we have to make the decision, am I going to put that on and start to have all the fruits and benefits of it? Now, that's a very high-level stuff with a lot of theological stuff that you might be going, no, hey, what was that? Go back. I can't talk about all the stuff I talked about. I just wanted to settle once for all. If you don't think about God, that God is about the new, then you don't think much about God. It is all throughout the Scriptures, and I'm telling you, for your life, this series might be here because he's trying to stimulate you to go someplace new. Some of us here are here right now going, I'm ready. Put me in, coach. I am ready. I am ready to quit my job. Come on. I want to go right now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Let's just stop. It's like halfway through week one right now. Relax. Relax. I don't want anybody quitting their job. No, relax. Because there also has to be a sustainability process. There has to be an awareness of how the new is going to continue on and how it's going to flower. When Jesus starts this new wineskin, this New Testament church starts, there's structures that help us, churches like us, the overall body of Christ, whatever denomination or church it looks like, to grow and to continue to be healthy. One of those structures is found in the book of Ephesians. It's called the fivefold office. All of us have wirings in one of five profiles: an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher. We're going to actually talk about that infrastructure for new initiatives this week at last Wednesday at all three campuses. And if you're going to come, I encourage you to go to fivefoldsurvey.com and find your likely profile. It's going to help you getting ready for this coming last Wednesday, fivefoldsurvey.com. See, there's things that we receive, we have to think through whether or not I'm going to walk in them and to achieve them. A little boy was in the forest one day, and he looked down, and he saw a frog, and the frog spoke up to him and said, "Psst, hey, kiss me, and I'll become a beautiful princess for you." Boy reaches down, and he picks up the frog, sticks in his pocket, and keeps walking. Frog claws his way back up the top of his pocket, his head peeks out of the pocket, says, hey, kiss me, and I'll turn into a beautiful princess for you. Kid jams the frog back down in his pocket, keeps walking. Frog claws his way back up, says, hey, don't you understand what I'm saying? Kiss me now, and I'll become a beautiful princess for you. Kid grabs the frog, pulls him out of his mouth, squeezes him really hard, his eyes start bugging out of his head, and he says, "I'm an 8-year-old boy. I'd rather have a talking frog." Puts it back into his pot, keeps walking along. Someone's going, "Oh man, that's good. A clean joke. I got to write that one down because I got to lose it." It has a different twist if it's an 80-year-old man, or, you know, it's very, or 50-year-old. You know, it's a different twist to that. But there are actually some truth to that joke. We can have something, but are we actually putting it into practice? Do we actually want all the possibilities of the abilities that God's actually given us? You know, if you have the possibility of an education, you need to see that an education is an entrepreneurial endeavor. It's not this thing, go, "Oh man, here I go, I gotta go back to school." If you're in college, you're in grad school, you're in high school, you're in junior high, you're getting ready, you're back in school or going back tomorrow, this is not like something you have to do, it's something you get to do. One of my biggest regrets is I didn't fully leverage some of the educational opportunities I had, and it limited my future opportunities. School is an entrepreneurial endeavor where you are developing new thoughts in your mind. New capacities are opening up for your future. I was reminded of this one, taking a look at an opening day convocation speech at Georgia Tech in front of a bunch of freshmen. Check this out.
"We chose Georgia Tech because we want to do the impossible. And this school is equipped with the resources and faculty to help us do just that. And so, in the words of Sir Isaac Newton, if I have seen further, it is by standing on the shoulders of giants. Georgia Tech is proud of its many traditions, but the one I find most exciting is our tradition of excellence. Our mission as students is not to follow in the footsteps of the astronauts, Nobel Prize laureates, and presidents who graduated before us, but to exceed their footsteps, crush the shoulders of the giants upon whom we stand. We here are all such innovative people, so I am telling you, if you want to change the world, you're at Georgia Tech. You can do that. If you want to build the Iron Man suit, you're at Georgia Tech. You can do that. If you want to play theme music during your convocation speech like a badass, we're at Georgia Tech. We can do that. I am doing that."
That's my favorite part right there. You go, "Wait a minute, I came here to get wasted." It's true, God has given us a mind to develop, to put new and accurate things in. He's given us bodies to develop. So, three quick bank shots as we close, three ideas here. Why are frontiers important? Why are new frontiers important? Why should we be going forth to areas that we haven't gone? Number one, new frontiers grow faith. Frontiers grow faith. You don't need any faith in God to keep doing what you're doing right now. You don't need God to show up in any unique way doing the same things you've always done. You got those down. And God, they may be good, and God might like you doing those things, but you do not need faith for it. You need faith. You need an X factor of help when there's a gap between where you are and where you want to go, and that's the new thing. The reason it's new is because you haven't been there. You might be a bit afraid of it. We've got a budding group of entrepreneurs that are happening here. Crossroads is pretty interesting. God has been attracting people with an entrepreneurial mindset here over the years. And so a small core group of leadership has said, hey, we ought to start having events and doing things to help people, help entrepreneurs be engaged, equipped, and encouraged at Crossroads. So one of those guys has an entrepreneurial business. It's called ChoreMonster.com. And ChoreMonster is all about helping kids do their chores and have fun doing them so they can go and check it off electronically and earn monsters online. It's a pretty interesting thing. So he was needing a 3D animator, and 3D animators are hard to find, and they're very expensive, and he's looking for it, and he goes into the restroom before the last Unpolished event, last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever that was, and he meets in the bathroom a 3D animator who has massive experience, and he hires him in the bathroom. Maybe the first time anyone's been hired at the urinal. That's pretty impressive. Better than when sitting down. Actually, I think they're washing their hands. Either way, it's pretty crazy. Now, here's how Chris interpreted that. I think he interpreted it like, wow, I'm doing this thing here to try to help other people. It's a new thing I'm doing. And look at the resource that God unexpectedly brought my way in the bathroom ahead of time. His faith got grown. Your faith will get grown as you do something that is new. Number two. Frontiers force focus. Frontiers force focus. When there is something new that you haven't done before, it takes more of your faculties than watching television or doing the same things that you've done. It forces a focus. What is the last new thing you learned to do? For many people, the last thing they can remember, last time they can remember being in a learning environment was when it was compulsory at school. What's the last new skill, the last new piece of knowledge that you've gained for yourself? I mean, I like doing those things. I've learned scuba diving. I didn't like it. I did it for a while, like a summer. Okay, it's fine. It's not my thing, but I'm really glad I had a focused attention of learning dive tables and learning how all the equipment works. There's something about us growing when we're in contact with the new. Right now, the newer thing I'm doing is adventure motorcycle touring off-road. It's a different kind of riding than I've done just on pavement. And part of why I like it is I have to learn new techniques. There's a whole knowledge bank of techniques and stuff that I have to learn and practice, and it improves me. Do you know what the next thing you want to do that's new? I know for me it is. I want to take a drawing class. A drawing class, yes. Cheeky monkey, a little drawing class, old Mike Myers, Saturday Night Live. I would like to take a drawing class because I'm always frustrated that I can't go beyond a stick figure. And when you do that, you'll go into an environment where I'll feel like a loser, I'll feel like I'm Bob a totem pole, and I will be, that'll be good for me, and I'll only be thinking about how to get those shapes right or whatever they do in drawing class versus my normal stuff. And maybe you'll be thankful for it because the next time I pull up a flip chart, it'll actually make sense for you. I also want to learn welding. It's on my to-learn bucket list. What's on your to-learn bucket list? Your new experiences, your new learnings that you want. These things are critical. They're important. In the book of Luke, chapter 8, one of the three times Jesus affirms the idea of taking what God's given you and doing something new with it, investing it and bringing a return. And one person that God does this with in this story decides not to do it. Here's what it says in Luke 8. Take care then how you fear, for the one who has more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. So for somebody who doesn't want the new, they don't want to try something, they want to keep it, just keep it. God said, okay, that's a wasted resource. I'm going to take it away from you and give it to somebody who wants to invest it and try to do something new with it. This is what God is about. It forces focus. The crazy thing for me is, man, I grew up in churches, and the people who knew the scriptures, who mostly built into me, gave me this opinion that somehow God is only into the old. He's into the safe. Now, God doesn't change in his character. His values don't change. His identity doesn't change. But where in the world we get this idea that to try something new is weird? I mean, I've been around people who felt like, man, that guy's going to start something new. He must just be greedy. Or she must just not be able to do the basic disciplines of her current job. She must have a short attention span. She has to always do something new. Why do we always slam the character of somebody who's doing something new? It's crazy how we go this way, and it's crazy how this often happens in religious circles. Number three, frontiers establish the future. Frontiers grow faith, frontiers force focus, and frontiers establish the future. Current systems and processes that you are working right now will not create a better future for you. Doing better systems and management techniques in your business will not grow your business. It may keep it from imploding. It will not grow your business. Doing whatever you're doing in your marriage right now a little better is not going to take your marriage to the next level. It's likely a new thing that you haven't tried before, a new learning, a new something. And this is critical. It's always the new that gives us jumps to the new thing. Always. It's not systems and processes. We have to have systems and processes to keep the new territory we've taken. We're going to have a whole week on being a pioneer and being a settler, how pioneers and settlers are necessary for every new thing God is doing. But processes are not the point of it. In fact, if you're only about processes and only managing what you have right now, you might be risk averse, you might be averse to the new, and I can tell you, you think about yourself, I don't want to judge you, you just think about yourself, am I taking new ground? In my marriage, am I taking new ground? In my occupation life, am I taking new ground? My friends, the deepness of our interaction with that, are my friendships going to new places? Character, can you identify a new character quality that's come into being for you? Whatever character quality that is. You become honest, you become more resilient, you've become more forward-thinking, you've become more compassionate. No, we're not born with those things. Some people might be born with some of those things, but we take new entrepreneurial ground in developing those things. I'm so excited about this series because I'm excited about this aspect of God because one of the things that God's really done in me and my wife. People don't understand the new for some reason in churches. It's weird that that's the case. Remember when Lib and I came here to start Crossroads, we had 11 entrepreneurs that were in Cincinnati and said, hey, we need to get one of these things called a senior pastor. Let's get him to come over here and help us do his church thing. So we decided to come, and I remember people going, wait. You're going from an established denomination that you're ordained in. It's got a set retirement plan, set medical plan, and you're going to go where there's just 11 people. No plans, no buildings that are rented. 11 people. You're going, yeah, we are. And all of us who were involved in those early days of Crossroads grew our faith significantly. And my heart is still that all of us who are a part of our church right now still are seeing the new entrepreneurial thing that God's doing and our faith is growing. And it's not about being a part of something that's big and successful. Honestly, for Lib and I, we would tell you, I can't imagine how we would know God right now if we stayed in the old. I would just be reciting the same old religious dogma that was true. That's what's still my life about. I've seen aspects of God's personality, of his passion, of his redemptive potential, of scripture verses that have come unlocked that I never saw in an old context. The new is beautiful, and I want to get us to a new. Not like a new fad. Let me try this one new thing. No, do we actually say, this is a new place I will go? This is one of the reasons why diets don't work. We're afraid of the new, so we do a sugar pill of a short, brief interim of trying something different. We try a brief diet to drop 20 pounds, and it doesn't work. We drop 20 pounds, we gain it right back immediately because we're hesitant to take on any new thing that just is going to be a part of our life forever. I took on it was a rough new thing I took on. I took on no caffeine. I've had loss of focus for a while. End of the day would come around, and it was like my vision. I was looking through a screen door. I didn't have the energy, didn't have the drive, I didn't have the attention span. Started going to doctors, figuring various things out, and nothing was really making sense. I finally said, okay, let's look at my life. What new thing can I try that might make a difference? What new thing is it? So I started ticking things off, and I finally stumbled on one. I said, gosh, caffeine. I drink 6 to 8 cups of black, fully octane coffee every day. I work in a place where there's free coffee 24/7. And I've been on that plan for over a decade. And it doesn't give me a buzz anymore. I'm never going, ooh, buzz, no, because it's always in my system. And I'm like the most non-addictive personality type you can imagine. I said, let's just try it for a week. Let's go off it and see what happens. I had no headaches or anything. I realized, you know, I like it good enough. I like it fine enough. And I actually am much more focused and I have more drive. So I said, no, new thing, I'm not going to have caffeine again. And I'm not legalistic about it. If there's not decaf caffeine, I'll take regular caffeine. But I'll just tell you, it was a arduous process to think that in the front end and to say, no, this is just going to be a new thing. You're going to have to say, no, this is going to be a new thing for me. I'm going to get on the treadmill 20 minutes a day for 3 days a week or whatever. Or I'm going to have a date night with the person I love once a week or once. I'm going to have to say, this is my new thing. I'm going to have staff meetings where I instill vision in the people in my organization. It's normal. I just have to say, this is a new thing that's just a part of who I am to achieve what God is asking me to do. Last verse, book of Isaiah. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive the new thing that God's been whispering to you today? Do you not perceive the entrepreneurial focus He might be asking of your family? Add another child. Adopt one. Do you not perceive the entrepreneurial focus that He might be wanting you to think about in terms of a new discipline? Do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive the new frontier that you dream about but other people don't understand? These things may be the things that God is giving you, and do you not perceive it? God, I pray that our perception sensitivity has been heightened today. I pray as we go forward in this series that our ability gets increased to achieve the new things You are inviting us to in relationship with You. And I thank You for the new thing You've done by invigorating us with Your presence, and hopefully today with this information that is just from Your heart. Thank You for this opportunity. And I pray these things according to Your identity, the name of Jesus. Amen. Book of Psalm chapter 40 says this: I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and He heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He lifted me out of the old place, lifted me out of the old patterns, lifted me out of the way that I always was, and I was stuck. And He set my feet on a rock, and He gave me a firm place to stand. And He put a, what kind of song? A new song in my mouth. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Let's sing and say this to God, these ancient songs in a new way that we will sing right now, a new song.